Thanks for listening to this podcast of BetMGM Tonight. Our show is live every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern on Odyssey radio stations around the country, Odyssey.com, as well as the Odyssey app.
Do you have a major market that, like, loves you, like their fan base? You were Bucks and you were Suns in four, so the Bucks
Suns
fan
love,
base.
Suns fan base love loves
you,
me.
But you, like, Philly hates you.
Oh, what about Boston?
Boston
Jesse,
also
what do you think
me.
About trust?
What does Boston hate you for?
Boston hates me as well. I said that they needed to trade Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's not a true point guard. I don't care if he's the heart and soul of the team. He's a chucker.
They still do need to trade Marcus Smart.
They do. I mean, yeah, I just speak facts to fan bases, and they get mad because they're, you know, emotional, like any fan base is. That's the whole concept, fanatic.
What about the Knicks? Do the Knicks, does New York like you?
Oh,
you used
I think
to live
so.
There.
Yeah, New York's okay. They like me okay.
Okay. Well, does this person on the Roman guest line like you?
I don't actually know. We'll have to ask him.
I guess
you got him some hats.
You got him some hats, so he should be loving you. Joining
and then
us...
I never went back on the show again, if
yeah,
you
that,
believe
that,
it.
Yeah, you did get like eliminated
I literally
from
got
the show.
Like, yeah, I literally got immunized from the show.
They took your hats, and then they kicked you off the show. Yeah. They used you. Joining us on the Roman guest
no
line
Rogers
is a man
games.
That we need answers from. Ken Barkley of You Better You Bet. Ken, thank you for joining the show. And our first question for you is, do you like Trista Crick?
Oh, I really walked into an ambush here, didn't
yeah.
I?
poor guy
just gets off the air. He's having some dinner, and now, yeah, thrown right
yeah.
to the
drinking
wall.
A nice cider.
Settling in. I got a drink in front of me right now. I was like, yeah, let's have a great old NFL conversation. And then it's, you know, which market hates Trista? Now, does Ken hate Trista? Ken probably hates Trista. That's probably where we're going. Trista's always welcome on You Better You. But first of all, Nick and I haven't been on the show for like 40% of the shows, Monday to Friday. The last 3 weeks, we both take a day off during the week. That probably has something to do with it. But
where do you guys go?
We go off so that we do show Saturday and Sunday. That's
oh,
where we go.
I see.
Like, we go just somehow not on the radio.
They go
for
to
four
Halo.
Hours
Halo.
Yeah, back for blood. Shoot some zombies. Highly recommended. Really good. Really cathartic. Good for good to get the stress out, anxiety out. So no, we like Trista on the show. I'm looking at the hat collection in front of me right now. We went with the Eric Cartman South Park beanie, which is like the traditional Tuesday hat.
I like that.
On the show. None of this would be possible without Trista's recommendation, which started as she was just like trying to be nice because, like, you know, like Nick asked her a question, she hadn't been on the show before, and I think she was just trying to be like, yeah, like, nah, Ken looks cool, like those hats are great, like those are awesome.
And then
like,
Nick was
honest.
Like, you're lying.
Yeah.
And then
Nick,
I was like,
Nick, as he is wont to do, will call people out excessively in some cases, but in this case, just called people out because, you know, it felt like you weren't being totally square, and you know, you were like, I think we could use some work on the hats, and we. To our credit, we listen to the feedback, we listen to the criticism, now we got new hats on the show.
Let's say this, Lockie, I just want to let you know I love your new beard. Like, it looks phenomenal,
well,
I'm peeping it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So, yeah. And it got a little scruffy there for a bit. It was a little, like a little hobo-esque going on there, but now we're back in trim.
That's in right
Yeah,
now.
We're back in trim, so appreciate that.
Ken, unfortunately, football season's still going on, not for me, but for the rest of you, and
knew you would start like
No,
I'm going to be some kind of like depressing-ass question.
He's
been moping around.
I'll be positive.
Anyway, Super Bowl, yes.
Yeah, well, I guess these two stupid teams have to play in the NFC. So the 49ers. 3.5-point dogs for some places. The Rams, obviously, Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay. 7-3 now against the spread against McVay. San Francisco coming off that victory over Green Bay. The Rams look pretty good against Tampa Bay, although they did everything in their power to lose that game. What are you playing in this game, Ken, as far as side and total? Anything that you've laid down yet?
Yeah, Niners, they're pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty good team.
They're all
some
right.
good stuff.
They're
yeah.
all right.
Special teams, pretty exceptional.
Ah!
Sorry, buddy. That's tough.
That you know, Ken, I already hate Tuesdays.
Yeah. That was tough, man. That was hideous. That was absolutely hideous. So, like, that was a rough.
Ken, they didn't score an offensive touchdown. My team had a field goal and a punt blocked in an NFL game. Like, this isn't like eighth grade, like the Joliet Raiders went out there and like the Lamont Tigers blocked a punt and a kick. Like, this is an NFL team. Like, it's an NFL team and it's went down all year. Every week I've tweeted about the special teams unit. And I knew when they ultimately lost, I thought it would be next week in the NFC Championship per usual. I just knew it was going to be because of the special teams.
I mean, Cameron had to be sitting there being like, this is a content goldmine when they lose to San Francisco on Saturday. Like, we got a whole week's worth of, like, Ryan in the pit of misery off this. So happy to see you back to your – saw you tweeting earlier. We're kind of away from the do nice things for people era. We're into, like, the sarcasm back to – kind of Dragon People era. So happy to see you back in your traditional ways. That's really good.
Yeah.
For this game, so I know we're going to talk about both games. This is the one that I think is way tougher to handicap to me. So obviously these teams played in week 18. It's pretty crazy that the Niners, it's halftime of week 18. It's the last week of the regular season. It's halftime. The Niners are down 17-3, and if they lose, they're out of the playoffs. And now they can easily make the Super Bowl. I mean, that's about as close, I think, as any team has ever come to being eliminated and then, like, still be alive to win the title when we get to this point in the season. It's pretty wild. And obviously they were playing the Rams in that game. The game was in L.A. Basically, the market is exactly the same as what we've seen. The total is exactly the same from that meeting. It's about a half point less, 46. The side is exactly the same, 3.5, which was the close. So I think the question that you have to ask yourself, to handicap the game is, has anything fundamentally changed enough from week 18 to now where you would feel really confident saying the side or the total should be different in the market? Or should it be exactly the same? Because nothing has changed. So I think your attack point there, if you were to try to kind of like come up with one basically, is what do you believe to be the current condition of Jimmy Garoppolo that's going to play in this game? Because like, we don't really know. He gets hurt in the second half against Dallas. The numbers go down. He throws the game-changing interception. Now he plays the game in Green Bay, and as you mentioned, Ryan, like, didn't score an offensive touchdown. Like, was it that just that it was freezing cold and it was 0 degrees? And oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers didn't play very as well in the game either.
Yeah.
Or is something fundamentally wrong with him since that second half against Dallas? I mean, the splits are pretty striking from that point forward. So it's kind of like which is it? And I think if you decide what your answer is to that, that'll lead you to the valuable bet in this game because there aren't any more injuries. Like Debo's probably going to play. Trent Williams has a sprained ankle. He's probably going to play. There's not a whole lot of new stuff here. It's the only thing that's changed, basically, is that the Niners have kept winning, so they get back to this spot. They might have more fans there, I guess, so home field advantage could be a little bit less, or it could be negative home field advantage for the Rams, depending on how much noise there is. But it really comes down to Garoppolo. If you feel like he's fundamentally different, then you should probably bet the Rams. If you think he's exactly the same and it's overblown and it's overhyped and he was just played a terrible game and it was really cold and he's going to be good, probably going to think about betting the Niners in the game. I don't have a good answer for what I think his health is, but I think that's what's going to guide you to the valuable bet in the game.
Ken, does the fact that these two games are being played by teams that have played so far once this year so far impact the way that you see their outcomes over and above what you just said? Like, there are a lot of betting tropes about, oh, it's really hard to beat the same team X amount of times in a year.
So that's a really good question. I think for me, previous meetings, what they usually do is they mean that the market's like unlikely to be really far off, right? Because these teams just played like very recently, it's literally week 18. Yeah. And whatever the closing side and total was, like when everyone had registered their opinion in the betting market about here's the difference between the teams, in our opinion, collectively, like us as a humans, like here's the difference between the teams and here's what we think the total in the game is. If nothing has changed and they're going to play again, that should always be the side and the total, right? So it's unlikely to be wrong, I guess is like my point. Whereas in a unique new matchup or a matchup that maybe they played a really long time ago, even like Kansas City, Buffalo, they played very early in the season. So even though the side and the total were maybe similar, you could argue like, well, that was like 13 weeks ago. I mean, a lot could have changed between now and then. With these teams having played literally in the last week of the regular season, I always will take a lot of my handicap from whatever the closing side and the total was, and they're identical. So just to compare it really quick to another game to kind of prove my point, Alabama and Georgia played in the SEC championship, and the spread was Georgia 6.5, and the total was 47 or something like that. And Alabama blows them out, right? And that leads into the title game. Well, in the title game, instead of running back the same market, they had just played. Why wouldn't you run back the same market? Alabama won so convincingly. The market was completely different. People were convinced Alabama was way better, and there were going to be more points scored in the game. And I felt like that was a big mistake. And I turned out to be right. And in this one, they're not making that adjustment. Like, no one who bets thinks that this is going to be different. So I don't know if there's necessarily an attack way, but that kind of answers your question. Like, when they play previously, you can kind of use that to be like, all right, is it way different than the previous meeting? If so, why? And if not, then the market should probably be the same.
And that's kind of what I'm wondering about this Bengals line. We saw it last night. It was 7.5 on the BetMGM app. And, like, I don't know, from a narrative-based standpoint, it just kind of feels like Joey Burrow and these Bengals kind of have some momentum, at least to cover the number, because they're playing so tough, even though they lost some guys I think they lost somebody on the defensive line.
Yeah, and there's so you're right, and this is a previous meeting that we had. This game was literally the week before. It was on January 2nd.
Yeah.
And there are a couple things that I feel more confident in saying are different in this game than in the first game, even though it was only a week earlier. It's obviously a rematch. figuring out the number is a little tricky. So when they played in Cincinnati, Kansas City closed between a 3 and a 3.5 point favorite. Now the next insanely key number in the NFL, obviously, you know, after 3 is 7. So it doesn't surprise me that when we flipped home field, and home field in the playoffs is worth so much, that we would get the 7 and even through 7 in this game. So I think that's a big part of it. I also think part of what I'm seeing, at least, is like an overreaction to the Bengals winning instead of like the underlying statistics of the game and like how they won. So when you look at the two box scores of the Bengals games, like I watched both games. I'm not saying I didn't. The video doesn't matter. But even just the statistics of the games, on a yards per play basis, the Bengals were outgained by both the Raiders and the Titans. They were outgained by the Titans on a per play basis by a significant amount. Both teams were also able to run the ball against the Bengals to a very large degree. So like, okay, Burrow is like an awesome quarterback. There's like no question about that. But everything else about the Bengals coming into this game feels shaky or questionable or like worthy of scrutiny, basically. So I look at this number, like my number in the game is basically like 9. And I think anything between 7.5 and 9.5 makes a ton of sense. But I don't think 7 makes a lot of sense. I think that's a bet worth making. Just my kind of general handicap is, okay, Burrow may be awesome. When the ball is snapped, either team has the ball. When the ball is snapped, what is happening at the line of scrimmage in this game? And for Kansas City, they have a significant – Cincinnati is the worst offensive line in the league. When the ball is snapped, you think Kansas City is not going to pressure Burrow? Everybody pressures Burrow. Yeah. Tennessee sacked him 9 times. And then the other way around, everyone's been able to run the ball against Cincinnati. You don't think KC, with their revamped offensive line, McKinnon, 4 different running backs, they're going to, like, think something up in order to run the ball effectively in this game? So I just think they have so many advantages, and now playing at home in a game with a lot of meaning, obviously, versus the regular season. I think this one plays out completely differently, honestly. I like KC, especially at 7. 7.5 is probably a pass. And I actually like the under a little bit in the game because I think Kansas City can control it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're joined by Lockie Lockers and a.k.a. Kim Barkley, host or co-host of You Better You Bet, Monday through Friday here on the BetQL Network from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Ken, we have maybe like a minute left. So really quickly, number one, how much you spoke about home field advantage. How much do you think that factors in? I know in the playoffs, because last week we see 3 home teams go down and we only had 1 team that was at home win it. And then also, I guess part 2 of that question, what is your prediction for this weekend, win, loss, nothing ATS-wise, and then your Super Bowl matchup?
Sure. So I think for home field, I think part of it depends on the stadium.
Where
so
is like home field?
So like the Rams probably have a very small home field advantage, because if we remember from Rams and Chargers games at their new place, when the opposing fan base shows up, the Rams and Chargers literally been on silent snap counts in home games this season. I mean, it's like you've never seen anything like that before. So rather than say, oh, it's worth like 2 points, 3 points, 4 points, whatever, it might be worth something really small, honestly, if the Niners are well represented in the game. So in that game, it might be nothing. Did anybody who watched the Bills-Chiefs game think the crowd wasn't a huge factor in that game on Sunday? Of course, it was a massive factor. So like, even if you're just like, rather than say it's exactly 1 point, it's exactly 2 points, it's just, it's going to be a lot in the Kansas City game. It's not going to be a lot in the Rams game. Gun to my head, I think Kansas City definitely wins. Second game, not really sure. I kind of agree with the market. I think the Rams are more likely. So probably KC and the Rams. Super Bowl line will be like Kansas City by a field goal, basically.
All right, Kim Barkey, thank you so much for joining the show.
Good stuff, Ken.
It's always great. And we got to get Tristan back on your show, Ken. So if you can pull some strings, we'll make her feel better.
I'll talk to Nick. That's what that means. I'll talk to the powers that be. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Well, no guarantees then now. All right, thanks, Kim Barkley, joining us on the Roman Guest Line. Get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Go to GetRoman.com/BetQL now to get $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/BetQL.